All right, this morning I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4. And this morning, I thought this past week, and actually I've been looking toward Easter and a message for Easter. You know, what if you sat down with someone who is not really familiar with Christianity? Someone who really didn't have the understanding about Christianity that we have. I mean, I was raised in church. I went to church before I was born. My mother was burying me, and I went to church. And I was raised at Antioch Baptist Church in Crisp County, Georgia. And so I have a Christian background. I have that as a heritage of my life and of my faith. But what if you sat down with someone who was not familiar with Christianity, who didn't have the background in the Christian faith like you and I have? And they asked this question, well, why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ important? First of all, is it real? Did it really happen? Did a man who died really come back to life and is alive today? And what does it mean? More and more as we run into people who have no Christian background, even in America, it may be that we need to be able to explain the fundamentals of our faith to people who are not familiar with the Christian faith and our Christian beliefs. And so today I just want to talk a little bit about the importance of the resurrection, what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is reminding the church in Corinth of the gospel message that he preached. He came to that old pagan city, evil, evil city, and he began to preach the gospel, and people were saved, and a church was formed, and it was a church that had some problems and issues, but Paul was very patient with this church. He loved these people. And he's reminding them in 1 Corinthians, what we call 1 Corinthians 15, of the gospel message that he preached. He said, I want to remind you of the message that I preached, the message you believe, the person you put your faith and trust in. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, here's what he says. For I delivered to you, I preached to you, first of all, that which is of most importance, that which I also receive, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried. The fact that he was buried is proof that he died. And he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So if I was sitting down with someone and they were not really familiar with the Christian faith, and maybe they had just some very, you know, fundamental, elementary facts about the Christian faith. And they asked me, well, why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ important and did it really happen? That's kind of what I want to share with you today. On Easter, we celebrate the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. That is what Easter is all about. And of course, I know today the kids will have their Easter egg hunts, and like Brother Lou was talking about, there'll be a lot of chocolate bunnies sold today. Now, I'm not opposed to chocolate. I like chocolate. You know, I think chocolate's good. And I'll even eat a chocolate bunny. Bring it on. You know, I enjoy seeing the kids have Easter egg hunts. Don't y'all? That's a lot of fun. We did that with our kids. We did that with our grandkids when they were young. I would hide the eggs in the house, you know. And they would hunt them, and then we'd go outside, and that's a lot of fun. And there's nothing wrong with those things as long as you keep them in perspective of what the true meaning of Easter is about, amen. Right? And so we always try to communicate to our children and our grandchildren, while these things are fun, and we call them, you know, Easter events and activities, this is not really what Easter is all about. What Easter is all about is the day, Easter is the day we celebrate the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, we have a wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness of sin. We have the gift of eternal life. We have a wonderful salvation that Jesus has given to us. Amen. But the salvation from sin that Jesus accomplished and he offers to everyone is not just made possible because of his death on the cross. We often talk about how the death of Jesus on the cross made our salvation possible. But actually, there's more to it than that. The salvation that our Lord made possible for us is made possible by his miraculous birth. Without his birth, there would be no life and death. The salvation Jesus makes possible for us is made possible not only by his miraculous birth, but his perfect life. In order to save us from our sins, he had to be a perfect sacrifice. He had to be a sinless, perfect person. The salvation that Jesus makes possible for us is not only made possible because of his miraculous birth and his perfect life, but also his sacrificial death, where Jesus took our sins upon himself. Now, we can't understand that. How did God do that? That was 2,000 years ago. How did God reach into the future and take my sin and somehow, some way, transfer my sin debt to the Lord Jesus, imputed my sin debt to him so that he would die for me? How did God do that? Well, I don't know how God did that, but he did it. And that's what the Bible proclaims, that he died for us. And we're saved by his sacrificial death, but we're also saved by his glorious resurrection.
Amen.
It is Jesus who is the Savior. And the salvation that he offers to us and that he gives to those who puts their faith and trust in him is made possible by his miraculous birth, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his glorious resurrection.
Amen.
So I want to look at all of those elements together and then talk about why the resurrection, what it means to us. First of all, the birth and the life of Jesus. The Bible teaches that Jesus is God. He is God. He is the second person of the Trinity, the second person of the triune God, just as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God who came into this world as a human being. Isn't that amazing? He is God. The Bible says he is the person of the Trinity who created all that there is. He did the hands-on creating of all that there is. He is God who became a human being through the miracle of the incarnation and the virgin birth. Now, he didn't stop being God when he came into this world. He just became what he had never been before, a human being. The birth of Jesus Christ was real. Bethlehem was real. The manger was real. Mary and Joseph were real people. The birth of Jesus was real. And his life was real on this earth. His life as described in the pages of the Bible was real. So the birth and the life of Jesus Christ is real.
Amen.
It's history. It happened. It's real. But second of all, I want us to look at the death of Jesus. The Bible teaches that when Jesus was 33 years old, he was arrested, falsely accused, and convicted of crimes that he had never done, he had never committed. Jesus was then put to death. He was convicted, condemned, and he was put to death by the Roman authorities who were ruling over the nation of Israel at that time. Now, rightly we can say that Jesus was put to death by the Romans, but also it's more rightly to say that he allowed himself to be put to death by the Romans.
Amen.
Now, we're talking about God, who could have called on 10,000 angels to come to his aid, and God who could have said, drop dead, and all of those who were putting him on the cross would have dropped dead. So he allowed himself to be put to death in one of the most horrible ways that a human being could ever die. I would challenge you to study what it was like to die on a cross. What a person suffered, what a person physically went through, the trauma, the fever, the physical trauma that a person went through when they died on a cross. Jesus allowed himself to be condemned and put on a cross.
Amen.
And he died on the cross. Now, the Bible gives us a very detailed account of the crucifixion of Jesus. Before Jesus was nailed on the cross, he was first brutally and savagely beaten by Roman soldiers. They made a sport of it. They hated the Jews, these Roman soldiers. They taunted the Jews. They loved torturing the Jews. And here comes this guy claiming that he's a king in the place of Caesar. And so he's arrested. He's turned over by his own countrymen. They took him and they made sport of him, and then they savagely beat him before he would be led to the place of his execution. After Jesus was savagely beaten, scourged by the Roman soldiers, he was then forced to carry his cross to the place of execution, which was outside the walls of Jerusalem. And when he was carried to that place, a place called Golgotha, a place called Calvary, when he was carried to that place, then Jesus was nailed. His body was nailed to a cross. And then that cross was lifted up. Can you imagine? We have seen depictions of that. We've seen pictures of that. But we can't even begin to fathom what that was like when someone was nailed to a cross. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours, from 9 o'clock that morning until 3 o'clock that afternoon. During that time, the Bible tells us that he spoke 7 times. He was taunted and mocked by the crowd even as he was dying. He suffered an unimaginable physical trauma. And then at 3 o'clock on that afternoon, Jesus died. Now, the life of Jesus was real and his death was real. His death was witnessed by many people around the cross. They saw it. The Roman soldiers, who were experts in putting people to death, made sure that Jesus really did die. They took a spear, rammed it up into his side, into his heart. They made sure that Jesus had died. His death was real and witnessed by all of those people around the cross. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the death of Jesus on the cross, there was more to that than the human eye could see. The Bible says that the death of Jesus on the cross was a sacrificial death. We use the term sometimes, it was a vicarious death. That is, Jesus did not die for any wrong that he had done. Jesus had done no wrong. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. Jesus died on the cross, according to the Bible, not for the wrongs that he had done. Jesus died on the cross for the wrongs we have done.
Amen.
Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, all of us. We have turned away from God. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And on the cross, Jesus took our sin upon himself. Our sins were laid upon him. And Jesus died in our place. Jesus died the death that we deserve because of our sins. What that means is this, that during those 6 hours that Jesus was on the cross, the sins of all mankind, including your sin and my sin, were imputed to Jesus, were transferred to Jesus. And Jesus died the death that we deserve because of our sins and our rebellion against God. Jesus died for us. His birth was real, his life was real, and his death was real. And far beyond what the witnesses of the death of Jesus could see was what was happening behind the scenes in the spiritual realm when our sins were transferred to the Lord Jesus and he died for us. Jesus himself said this in Mark 10:45 of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Romans 5:8, God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:9-10, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us." 1 Peter 3:18-19, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the just for the unjust." He's the just, we're the unjust. "That he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." And so Jesus' death was real.
Yes.
His life was real. His birth was real. His life was real. And his death was very much real. The Bible says the burial of Jesus was real. The Bible says that after Jesus died, his bloodied and bruised body was claimed by two of his followers, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They came to Pilate and they said, "We want the body of Jesus. He's dead." These men took the body of Jesus and they washed it. Can you imagine the bloodiness that was on that body? The bruises, the lacerations that was on that body. They took his body and they washed his body. Then they took some of the spices and they anointed his body. They wrapped his body in a shroud. And then they hurriedly buried his body in a tomb nearby where Jesus had died. You see, the Sabbath was coming in just 3 hours after Jesus died, and they knew they had to hurry up to quickly bury the body of Jesus before the Sabbath would begin. Yeah. Some of the women who followed Jesus in his ministry watched all of this. They were there at the cross, and then when Jesus was taken off the cross, they followed the body of Jesus and Joseph and Nicodemus, and they saw where Jesus was buried. These faithful, faithful women. And then they made a decision. They said, "You know, after the Sabbath, we're going to come back here, and as an act of love, we're going to come back to the tomb, and we're going to better prepare the body of Jesus." It had to be done very quickly. But as an act of love for their Savior, they said, "We're going to come back. We're going to make sure that the body is rightly prepared." So as the death of Jesus was real, his burial was real as well. After Jesus was buried, the Jews who had falsely accused Jesus went to the Roman governor, Pilate, and they said, "You know, this guy claimed that he was going to rise from the dead. In order to prevent his followers from sneaking into that tomb and stealing the body of Jesus and making the claim that he had risen from the dead, they requested from Pilate that he would secure the tomb, put a Roman seal on the tomb, which if anyone broke that seal, it would be under the threat of death, that they would die for breaking a Roman seal, and then to put a guard at the tomb." They were afraid that somehow, some way, that the body of Jesus would be stolen and then the proclamation would be made that he had risen from the dead. Pilate granted their request. He put a Roman seal on the massive stone door of that tomb, weighing tons, and he assigned soldiers to guard the tomb. But what about the disciples of Jesus? After Jesus died, his disciples went into hiding. They were afraid. They were afraid that they were going to be arrested too, and they would face the same fate as Jesus. So for the rest of that day on Friday, and then all of that day on Saturday, which was the Jewish Sabbath, the shocked, saddened, and confused disciples were hiding, not knowing what to do next. And with the disciples were those women who had followed Jesus. When the Sabbath ended at 6 p.m. on Saturday, those faithful women went to the shops which had opened up, and they purchased the supplies they needed to complete the anointing and the care of the body of Jesus. And then they waited for sunrise on that Sunday morning to go to the tomb and to better prepare the body of Jesus. And so early that Sunday morning, those faithful women, those old men are hiding. These brave and faithful women get together and they begin to make their way to the tomb. Now, they had no idea how they were going to move that big old stone in front of the tomb, and they had no idea how they were going to negotiate themselves through the Roman soldiers that were there, and how could the Roman seal be broken. They were just believing that God was going to handle it, and as an act of love, they were going to take care of the body of Jesus. Isn't that just like faithful women? Trying to meet the needs of others. On their way to the tomb early on that Sunday morning, an earthquake hit. And it wasn't a big old earthquake that surrounded the land. It hit right there at the tomb. And then one of my favorite parts of the Bible, something happened. An angel came down. Took his little pinky. Pushed against that rock in front of that tomb, and that thing just fell over. And then the Bible says he sat down on top of it. Now, when the Roman soldiers saw all of this, the Bible says they passed out like they were dead. And when they woke up, they ran to Jerusalem just as fast as they could. When the women arrived at the tomb, there were no soldiers. The tomb was open. They didn't know what was going on. They looked into the tomb, and there was two angels in the tomb. And they said, "Hello, happy Easter. He is not here. He is risen." So they ran back. Mary Magdalene, bless her heart, kind of hung around a little bit, turned around, saw somebody she thought was the gardener of the tomb and the garden where the tomb was. Turned around and it was Jesus. Jesus arose from the dead. His birth was real. His life was real. His death was real. His burial was real. And hallelujah, his resurrection is real.
Amen.
Jesus arose from the dead. Did he die? Yes, sir, he died. If you don't believe he died, then let me beat you savagely. Let me hang you on a cross for 6 hours and take a spear and ram it up your side and see if you survive that. Jesus arose from the dead. And after he arose from the dead, over a period of 40 days, he appeared to his disciples, made several appearances to his disciples and followers. The Bible says he taught them. He prepared them for the mission of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Then at the end of 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven with this promise that one day he would come again.
Amen.
Just as he ascended. Now, the body of Jesus that came out of the grave was the same body that went into the grave, but it was different. The resurrected body of Jesus that came out of the grave was cleansed of all of the abuse and blood and bruises that he had suffered at the cross. The body that came out of the grave was a glorified body, a real body. The only thing left in his physical body from what he had suffered was the scars in his hands. And in his feet and on his side. But the body of Jesus was real. Do you know that Jesus ate after he arose from the dead?
Amen.
I mean, we know about the Lord's Supper. We can also know about the Lord's breakfast. He fed his disciples breakfast. And when he first appeared to them, the disciples didn't know what to think. They thought he might have been a ghost. He said, "I'm not a ghost. I got flesh and blood just like you do. Resurrected body." He said, "Give me a piece of fish." And Jesus ate his fish. That's why me and my service goes to Captain D's a lot. You know?
Amen.
The resurrected body of Jesus is a real body. Just like our body will be when our body is risen from the grave, as the Bible teaches. There's so many verses that talk about the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was real. 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15, 20, "Now Christ is risen from the dead." Romans 14, 9, "For to this end Christ both died and rose, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." The death of Jesus was real. His burial was real. His resurrection is real. And Jesus is alive today in that resurrected body. Unseen to us. He ascended into that in that resurrected body. And he's alive today at the right hand of the Father. In that resurrected body. So, you see, we are saved not just by the death of Jesus on the cross. We're saved by his miraculous birth, by his perfect life, by his sacrificial death, and by his glorious resurrection. So what does the resurrection mean? What does the fact that Jesus arose from the grave mean for us? Number one is this. Romans 1:4 says that the resurrection of Jesus Christ declares like no other evidence that he is the Son of God. Romans 1:4, Jesus Christ our Lord was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The fact that Jesus died proved that he was human. His resurrection proves that he is God.
Amen.
And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ declares like nothing else, no other evidence, that Jesus is the Son of God. Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's certification and declaration that his death on the cross was accepted by God as a sacrifice for our sins.
Amen.
How do we know that Jesus died for our sins on the cross? We can know it because he arose on the third day. The resurrection of Jesus is God's certification and declaration that his sacrifice on the cross for our sins was accepted by God. And now all of those who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will receive the benefit of what he did at the cross.
Amen.
His blood that was shed for them will be applied to their sin debt, and they will be declared forgiven. And by the way, they'll be declared forgiven finally, fully, and forever.
Amen.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead declared the victory of Jesus over Satan, sin, death, and the grave. Jesus is victor. We sing victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus won at the cross, and by the resurrection, he defeated Satan. Satan is a defeated foe.
Amen.
There is absolutely no suspense as to who's going to win in the end. Will it be the devil or Jesus? Jesus has already won. And he won that victory through his death and through his resurrection. And by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only did he defeat Satan, he defeated sin, the death, and the grave. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then he will share the victory he won with you. And in Jesus, you can be victorious over Satan and sin. And you will be victorious over the death and over the grave. Because he lives, we shall live forever.
That's right.
And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ declares the victory of Jesus over the great enemies of mankind, Satan, sin, death, and the grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that Jesus is a living Lord and Savior. And what does that mean? That means that he can and he will save anyone, anywhere, any place who calls upon him in repentance and faith.
Amen.
He's a living Savior.
Yes.
And anyone who calls upon him, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they are, anytime, anywhere, any place, anyone who calls upon Jesus in repentance and faith, he can and he will save. And he will bring redemption to them. And he will change their life. And he will make them brand new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is a living Savior.
Right.
And he's a living Lord. And he will save anyone.
He will.
Man, I can stand before anybody, any group, anywhere, and declare that Jesus will save anyone
will.
Who will trust in him. Because he's a living Savior.
Amen.
And a living Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that Jesus is always present with those who trust him. It means that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, not only does Jesus save us, he secures us and he strengthens us and he blesses us and he uses us and he will never let us go. The fact that Jesus is a living Lord and Savior means that if you have put your trust in him, he will never let you go. He will be with you. He will secure you. You can call upon him. When you have needs, you can call upon him. When you need strength, you can call upon him. When you need wisdom and guidance, you can call upon him. He's a living Savior who loves those who put their faith and trust in Him. And He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we fought some battles at our home. We fought some battles. And sometimes it's tough. And sometimes you feel like, man, what in the world? But then God in His grace and mercy will come and give strength and wisdom and guidance. He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that heaven is real. Heaven is real. The one who came from heaven now makes heaven possible for you and I. Heaven is real, and it is the eternal home for all of those who trust in Christ. I don't like doing funerals. You know, people ask me sometimes, was that a good funeral? I don't know how to answer that question. How can a funeral be a good funeral? I guess it can be a good funeral, but I want to tell you this. The funeral of a Christian is a whole lot better than one who's never been saved.
Amen.
Because I can stand before, if there's evidence that that person has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you know that they are saved, man, you can stand before that crowd and say, this, my brother and my sister gave their life to Christ. And I can tell you, their body may be here, but their spirit is with Jesus and they have never been more alive than they are right now.
Amen.
And that is made possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The victory He won at the cross. And the victory He won by His resurrection.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I don't deserve to be saved. I've never done anything to be worthy of being saved. But by His grace and mercy, He saved my soul when I called upon Him. And I know that heaven is my home.
Amen.
And you know, if you know where you're going, that can make the journey here a little better, right? And it can give you strength to continue to serve your Lord. See, I don't care about the pandemic. I mean, I want the pandemic to be gone, but the pandemic is not going to affect my commitment to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's my Savior and my Lord. And finally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that Jesus is coming again to this earth.
Amen.
Not as a baby.
That's right.
Not as a lamb. He's coming as Lord. He's coming as the Lion of Judah.
Amen.
And He's not coming to die on a cross. He's coming to rule this world.
Amen.
To judge those who have rejected Him. To cleanse this earth of the curse and the contamination of sin. And to usher in His kingdom. And then He will rule on this earth with His saints and the holy angels for 1,000 years. And then when that 1,000 years is up, He's going to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. You see, Jesus doesn't come to take sides. Jesus comes to take over.
Amen.
Because He is the Lord. And the resurrection declares Him to be God and Lord. The salvation from sin that Jesus offered is made possible by His miraculous birth, His perfect life, His sacrificial death, and His glorious resurrection. Jesus came from earth, heaven to earth, to make it possible that we can go from earth to heaven. And when we give our life to Christ, He takes His perfection and He covers us with His perfection and His righteousness, and He makes us right with God. Do you know to go to heaven, you have to be perfect? You can't be 75% good and 25% bad and go to heaven. No. You can't be 99% good and 1% bad and go to heaven. Do you know to go to heaven, you have to be perfect? You say, well, that leaves me out. Join the club, me too. But here's what happens. When you give your life to Jesus, Jesus takes His perfection and He covers you with His perfection. So that when God looks at you, He looks at you through the filter of the perfect Son of God. And you are accepted in the Beloved. And you'll go to heaven, and when you go to heaven, He'll make you perfect, the Bible says. And so His perfect life makes our salvation possible. When we give our life to Christ, His sacrifice on the cross is applied to our life, and our sin debt to God is paid for finally, fully, and forever. Have you ever paid off a debt and just wanted to have a party? Man, that thing has been on and on and on for years and years and years. And you dabbling out a little bit, paying a little bit every month or something like that. And you finally get to the end of it and you pay that thing off and you go home and you say, "Mama, come on, we going out to Dairy Queen and we're going to have a party." Amen?
Amen.
Listen, we got a debt we can't pay. It's our sin debt. And we can't pay that debt. There's nothing we can do to pay that debt. But you know what Jesus does? He comes and he takes his blood and he takes what he did on the cross and he pays that debt for us. Isn't that amazing? And he pays it finally, fully, and forever. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." The word that is translated, "it is finished," is the word tetelestai. That's the Greek word that is translated, "it is finished." It was a word that in ancient times when somebody paid off a debt, you know what they would write on that? On the bill that they had? Tetelestai. It is finished. When you give your life to Christ, Jesus takes your sin debt. And you know what he writes on your sin debt? Tetelestai. It is finished. Amen. And it's finished because of Jesus. When we give our life to Christ, his resurrection secures our salvation. And because of Jesus Christ, we will live for God with God forever. His life was real. His death was real. His burial was real. And his resurrection is real. And my friend, if you give your life to Jesus Christ today, the salvation he gives you will be real too. Because he lives. He's a Savior who will save all who will call upon him.